This is part B of warning, do not be deceived. And when the covering comes back in again, it'll be worse than before. We've seen it happen over and over again. Now let's come to Jeremiah 8. And from this we can see a tremendous principle. Jeremiah 8, page 561, verse 4. And you shall say to them, thus says the Lord, shall they fall and not arise? Shall one turn away and not repent? Now here he's talking about Jerusalem and why, after all the warnings that had been given, that they didn't repent. I mean, you go back and read Jeremiah 7 again, see what he's talking about. Why has this people of Jerusalem slidden back by a never-ending backsliding? The answer, they hold fast to deceit. Remember, the carnal mind is deceitful above all things. And even converted people have to fight against deceit too, don't they? Because you still have the law of sin and death in you. And that's why Jesus said, be on guard so that no one deceive you. Because if you get into a frame of mind that there is profit in it for you without doing right, that is directly Satan's message, because that's what he told Adam and Eve. Oh, if you eat of this tree, it'll be great. You can decide what is good and evil, not God. You'll be like God. Now today, we have it different than what they had back there. We have the Bible. We have the whole Word of God. We can read it. We can use that to arm ourselves and be on guard so we're not going to be deceived. But you see, it's like anything else. If you don't study every day and if you don't pray every day, because the human mind does not hold things very long if you are not continually living by it, educating yourself, reinforcing it, reproving and knowing what is the truth. Then those things will gradually fade into the background, and Satan will come in with just the right thing to make it sound really, really good. And then he begins to put the blinders on. See, because he can't put the blinders on you unless, see, he already has permission from God to do so for those who reject the word and truth of God. So if you begin to reject it a bit at a time, a bit at a time, a bit at a time, then what you're doing, it's like putting blinders on slowly, 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 slowly. And as the New Testament says, men don't like to come to the light because it exposes their deeds as evil. And what shows this? They're not repenting. They're not striving to overcome. Rather, they're just kind of drifting along their own way. Sound a little bit like some prophecies of the church we read of in the past? Yes. They hold fast to deceit. They refuse to repent. And that brings us right to where we started. What if you went into a Catholic cathedral and preached all the things I said that were necessary to preach? Why, you would have a riot in no time. Verse 6, I listened and heard, but they did not speak right. No man repented of his wickedness, saying, what have I done? Everyone turned in their own courses as the horse rushes into the battle. And I tell you what, if you think that war today is vicious and terrible, You watch the History Channel and all of those ancient battles they have reenacted, many of them. The Roman battles, the Carthaginian battles, some of the Babylonian battles, and biblical battles. And they killed 20, 30,000 men in a day. Hannibal in one day killed 90,000 Romans, slaughtered them. Heaps of bodies. Now, if you're shot with a bullet, it can even go through certain parts of your body, miss the vital organs, and you'll recover. But if someone comes up to you with a sword and sticks you right in the gut, you're dead. And I know Dolores and I have been watching them. One of the latest battles that was on the History Channel was about Caesar. And with his battles, he killed 450,000 of the Gauls. 450,000. Think of that. That's amazing. So don't think that war today is really as devastating as you think. Think about what it was back then, and you had no medical help, you had no assistance on the field to stop your bleeding and sew you up, and the ones who were after you were vicious. They would stab you in the neck, lob off your head, they would stick you in right in your midriff with a sword or with a spear and raise you up and just throw you down right on the ground, and that was it. Yeah, a comment was made. The wild pigs came in and cleaned it up, so did the vultures and the eagles, and people were out there, you know, gathering the spoil, taking the weapons. I mean, totally different from what we have today. See, as a horse rushes into the battle, running into a battle and not even knowing what you're getting into. So God says, verse 7, yea, the stork in heaven knows her appointed times. The turtle and the crane and the swallow watch the time of their migration. But my people do not know the judgment of the Lord. How do you say we are wise? And the law of the Lord is with us. In other words, we're God's people. Instead, certainly the lying pen of the scribes has written falsely. That's how people get deceived. You can apply that to translations of the Bible. And one of the things that in 1995 motivated me to finish translating the New Testament and hence to publish it was that I got a Bible called the Inclusive New Testament. Now, if you haven't read that in the commentary in the New Testament, you'll understand. Inclusive New Testament was a politically and sexually correct, diverse translation of the New Testament. They wanted to make it gender neuter. Get rid of as many he's as possible. And the thing that really got me was they said the name of God the Father was a metaphor, which it wasn't. And a metaphor we can change to fit the times of today. So therefore, every word is God the Father. We translate it Father Mother. And the reader can contemplate what that means. Destroyed the Word of God. I was standing there right next to my bookcase. And I read that and I got mad and tears come down my eyes, and I said to myself, if we, that is the people of God, and me, let that stand, God is going to judge us for that. Because if we don't stand up for the truth of God, regardless of the consequences, why would God give us eternal life? And so that's what motivated me into doing it. And now we've got the whole Bible and soon the second printing. All right, let's come to the book of Psalms, Psalm 10. Here's why the world is the way it is. And just this morning, watching the news, there was another killing. Three police officers were killed. 13 were mown down in New York. The three who were killed were in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. And out in New Mexico, just today, they found 6 people killed. 4 of them were obviously because of Mexican drug violence. Those things are happening because of this right here. Because we rejected God. Oh, they want to get back to the way the America was at the first. but they're not willing to come to God 100%. Oh, we want to use the name of God and believe in Him, but you don't want to repent and let God take away the covering that is over your eyes. Oh, we want to love America, but what about loving God? Oh, we want to have a nation of laws, yet from the pulpit you preach lawlessness that the law has been abolished. You're double-minded and schizophrenic. And here's the result. Psalm 10, page 709. Why do you stand far off, O Lord? Why do you hide yourself in times of trouble? The wicked in his pride pursues the poor. Let them be taken into schemes that they have imagined. And they're going to. For the wicked boast of his heart's desire, and blesses the covetous, but despises the Lord. Through the pride of his countenance, the wicked will not seek God. In all his thoughts, there is no place for God. Let's try this on for size. For the Pope, will you preach repentance? Will you abolish Sunday and keep the Sabbath? Will you strip yourself of all of your titles and all of your accoutrements that you wear, put on some sackcloth and ashes and repent? Will you? Of course not. Much less all of the rest of the lower ones in the hierarchy. Let's try this with, say, Prime Minister Brown in the United Kingdom, Obama in the United States. How about all of those who run the reserve banks in the world? How about lining up Bernanke and Barney Frank and Harry Reid, Nancy Pelosi, and all the rest of them? How about starting with the Justice Department? Mr. Holder, are you willing to have the laws of God as the law of the land? Huh! No. Through the pride of his countenance, the wicked will not seek God. In all his thoughts, there is no place for God. And you can take the same formula and apply it to any nation, any people, anywhere. His ways are grievous, your judgments are high, far above, out of his sight. As for all of his enemies, he puffs at them. He says in his heart, I shall not be moved from generation to generation. I shall never be in adversity. And so when you really hear him behind the scenes, because remember this, here is a great truth you'd never forget. Every man or woman is exactly what he or she is when they are alone, at home, in a room, by themselves, and the door is shut, and no one is there to see what you are doing. That is you. And in the secret recesses of your mind, all the imaginations and the deceit and the wickedness and the evil that goes on is right there running full time within your mind. That's who you really are. Think on that for a bit. Verse 7. His mouth is full of cursing and deceit and fraud. Under his tongue are mischief and iniquity. He sits in the hiding places of the villages. In the secret places he murders the innocent. His eyes are on the watch for the helpless. He lies in wait secretly like a lion in his den. He lies in wait to catch the poor. He catches the poor when he draws him in his net. He crouches and bows down, and the hapless fall into his mighty grasp. He says in his heart, God has forgotten. He hides his face. He will never see. So you can read the rest of it there. Yes, God is going to arise, and he's going to take care of it. Come over here to Psalm 50. This is how people get deceived. They let these things come on, and then what happens? It multiplies, see? Psalm 50, page 727, verse 16. But to the wicked God says. What is it to you to declare my statutes and to take up my covenant in your mouth? Now think about that for all the lying preachers who appeal to the deceit of human beings that you don't have to keep the laws of God anymore. Why do you take the covenant of God on your mouth with your sacrifice of the Mass and with your Lord's Supper and with your Sunday, etc.? Yea, you hate to be taught. They wouldn't be taught of the Word of God. And you cast my words behind you. I wonder what the homosexual episcopal bishop who married another man thinks when he opens the Bible. Verse 18. When you saw a thief, then you were pleased to be with him, and you have taken part with adulterers. Does that sound a little bit like the lawmakers, Congress, business people, bankers? You give your mouth to evil, and your tongue frames deceit. You sit, you speak against your brother, you slander your own mother's son. These things you have done, and I have kept silent. You thought that I was like yourself, but I will rebuke you and set them in order before your eyes. Now consider this, you who forget God, lest I tear you in pieces and there be none to deliver. No wonder they want to do away with the Old Testament. They don't like to hear those words. This is not the old law. This is current law in action. Yes, indeed. Now let's see how it's done here in the New Testament, and then we will see how we can avoid these things. Let's come here to 2 Peter, the second chapter. Now, if you want an interesting study, write in for the seven general epistles book that we have. And there's a parallel study between 2 Peter, the second chapter, and the book of Jude. And it's quite astounding because, you see, many of the things that we look and see that are taking place today were taking place back then because generations go in cycles. And so we're in one of these downward spirals again. Now, let's pick it up here. Verse 9, 2 Peter 2. No, let's come to verse 1. We'll read a couple verses here and then we'll go there. Here's how it's done. But there were also false prophets among the people. And you can read that in Isaiah and Jeremiah and so forth. And see that there were false lying prophets. As indeed there will be false teachers among you. That's why we are to be on guard. Who will stealthily, that means secretly, having a hidden agenda, introduce destructive heresies a bit at a time, incrementally. That's how people get deceived. That's how they go from keeping the Passover to taking the communion. That's how they go from keeping Sabbath to keeping Sunday. And here's introducing destructive heresies, personally denying the Lord who bought them. So whenever you bring a false teaching, you are denying the Lord because that is not what the Lord says. And bringing swift destruction upon themselves. Now notice what happens. Verse 2 doesn't say, and many people on guard stood up and resisted them and threw them out of their assembly. No. And many people will follow as authoritative their destructive ways, and because of them, the way of the truth shall be blasphemed. Now what happens? Yes, indeed. That's how people get deceived within the Church of God. So I'm not only talking about the world, I'm talking about the Church of God. So we're covering a lot of area here. Now notice how they appeal to the deceitfulness of human nature. Also, through insatiable greed, they will, with enticing messages, exploit you for gain. Gain of numbers, gain of money, gain of status, gain of fame, for whom the judgment of God is in full force and their destruction is ever watching. So he wants us to consider this, which is very important, because too many people take sin too lightly, and they don't understand that there was sin before human beings were created. Verse 4. For if God did not spare the angels who sinned, there's even judgment against angels who sinned. But having cast them down into Tartarus, that means a place of restraint. It's also called the abyss in Revelation, the 9th chapter. Delivered them into chains of darkness to be kept for the judgment. And consider this, verse 5. And you can see it everywhere. And I remember it was a startling thing. When I was up pastoring Salt Lake and Boise, I used to drive out to Wyoming and visit brethren who lived way out in vast reaches of Wyoming. And when you come to Wyoming, you are, as you go east, you're climbing up to the Continental Divide. And so I was up near the top of the Continental Divide at this location here, which was the lower part in the Rocky Mountains, which was about 8,000 feet, maybe 7,000 feet. And you wouldn't think that this was the Continental Divide because you'd be coming up so gradually from Utah. And Utah started out at 4,400 feet. So I got on, I drove the car down this road and off the highway up toward a mountain. And it was, at that point, the mountain was just like a hill before me because it was way up in elevation. And I got out of the car and I said, I'm going to look for some fossils. So I did. And guess what I found? Hundreds of trilobite fossils. What did that prove? There was a flood. And why was there the flood? Because of sin. And what did Jesus say? As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the Son of Man. So here you have a witness. You could just pick it up right off the ground. And they have fossils like that by the millions everywhere in the world. And yet they deny the flood. But notice verse 5. And if God did not spare the ancient world, you can read about that in Genesis 4, 5, and 6, but saved Noah, the 8th, a preacher of righteousness, when he brought the flood upon the world of the ungodly, and it covered all the mountains by 15 cubits, that's 45 feet, and having reduced the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah to ashes, and they know where the cities were. They found them. And you can look and see where the buildings were that look like very fine rock, but it's not. The rock was turned to ashes. And you can, on the ground, you can pick up little round balls of different size, you know, like from small marbles to medium size into large marbles. And what are they? They are balls of sulfur. And you can take those, and I saw this, they put a little one in a spoon and they lit it. Now, those balls of sulfur are nowhere else except in that location where Sodom and Gomorrah was. So these are witnesses for us that we don't do that. Now notice how it starts out. It starts out with the false prophets. And that's what leads people into deception, and Satan is right there to complete it. Having reduced the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah to ashes, condemned them with a catastrophic destruction, making them an example for those who would be ungodly in the future. And if he personally rescued righteous Lot, who was oppressed by the lawless ones living in licentious conduct, So God is able to rescue us. Here is encouragement for us. God will help us and watch over us. For that righteous man dwelling among them through seeing and hearing their lawless activities was tormented day by day in his righteous soul. Now, the closest one I can, in my own mind, because I live 100 miles from San Francisco and don't go there, but the closest one I know that comes to that, he's a radio broadcaster whose name is Michael Savage. And he lives in San Francisco. And every so often in his programs, if you hear it, he rails against that city and what they do. So he reminds me of this. Verse 9. The Lord knows how to rescue the godly out of temptation and to reserve the unrighteous to the day of judgment to be punished. But particularly those who walk after the flesh in corrupting lust and hold in utter contempt the lordship of God. Now this is important. God has to be your Lord and Master. He is to rule over you. I'm going to give another sermon on my trip. Every knee shall bow to God. See? Utter contempt. See? Well, they don't want his laws. They don't want his truth. They don't want the Sabbath. They don't want the Passover. They don't want the holy days. They want their ways. They want their fun. They want their lust. They want their deception. And think about it. Everything about the Christianity of the world is a lie. Sunday is a lie. Easter is a lie. And all the things that go with it. Christmas is a lie. And everything that goes with it. Oh, but we do it for the children. Oh, you teach lying to children? You think that's okay? Well, when I found out about Christmas and my mom told me, well, that's a white lie. I wondered why I got all the spankings and switchings when I lied. See, because little children lie. That's the first thing they're going to do. Something happens and it goes wrong. You say, did you do it? Oh, it wasn't me. See? Now think about this, continuing verse 10. They are audacious and self-willed. Rather than yielding to God. They are not afraid to blaspheme the divine powers. Now, you can go on, and read the rest here, go through it. But let's come over here to verse 18. Now let's come to verse 18. Let's see how they do it. For they speak bombastic words of vanity. Woohoo. Sound like something you see on television every day? Enticing others through the lust of the flesh. Now, religiously speaking, by granting indulgences to sin. Well, you don't have to keep the Sabbath. One day in seven is good enough. And besides, everybody gets together on Sunday. See, it takes faith to keep the Sabbath. It takes faith to keep the commandments, you see. It doesn't take any faith to keep Sunday. You can just go anytime you want to. You can go in any church you want to. Hey, you can look it up in a phone book, select whichever one you like. See? And ensnaring those who had indeed escaped from those who live in deception. Those in the church. Snaring them. Be on guard that no one deceive you. While promising them freedom, they themselves are actually slaves of corruption, because by whatever anyone is overcome, he is also held in bondage. What drives your life? Is it God and the Spirit of God? What drives your life? Now for us, let's understand the severity of what we are talking about. For if after escaping the moral defilements of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. They again become entangled in them and are overcome. So you see, it's a process. It does not happen all at once. Become entangled in them and are overcome. Isn't it interesting that it talks about the veil that covers all nations? What happens when you have a veil? You get entangled in it. The final end is worse than the beginning. For it would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than, after knowing it, to turn back from the holy commandment that was delivered to them. But the pronouncement found in the true proverb has happened to them. The dog is returned to eat his own vomit, and the sow that was washed has returned to her wallowing place in the filthy mire. So that's why there has to be conversion. Now, how do we avoid this? Okay? Let's come to 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter. Now, it's a rare thing in the history of the world and the Bible to have the whole Bible in front of you and to be able, as we do, to turn from page to page in the Bible and read it. Now, this is why we do that. There is a reason. So that when I read, you read. Or whoever is teaching, whoever is preaching. So that you can see that the words that are being read are correct. And like we have here, whenever you have a comment, which is good, we add it in. That's all part of it. But what this does, this helps us in a way which also puts a double burden upon those who used to do that but no longer do, doesn't it? But if you hear it and you read it, you see it, it is educating your mind. See? So here's what we do. This is exactly what we are doing when we look it up in the scriptures. Verse 21. Prove all things. Do not believe what you are told unless you prove it. Not see it. Prove it in the Bible. Now look what happened when they voted in Congress on this big spending bill. They have so many going through and so many trillions going through, it's hard to keep up on what they're doing. But they rushed it through and no one read it. 1,000 pages. You talk about deception, blindness, and utter stupidity and futility. And they're running the country? And you wonder why it's going down? Because the rest of the population is much the same way. There are some few trying to reverse it. But it's kind of like, how many people with their hands and fingers and toes can go out to this mammoth dike and stop all the leaks? Never happened. You've got to prove all things. Then hold fast to what is good. Then, verse 22, abstain from every form of wickedness. Okay? That's how we are to do it. Let's come to Acts, the 17th chapter. Let's see something else that we are to do, which God honors. See, when you get everything right, if you have the right day, which is the Sabbath, and you're yielding to the Spirit of God and ask Him to help you and inspire you, if you are approving all things, and if you are doing what it says here that the Bereans did, then you are on guard. Let's read it here. Acts 17, page 1103, verse 11. Now these in Berea were more noble than those in Thessalonica, or Thessaloniki, as it is in the Greek, for they received the word with all readiness of mind. They were willing to receive it, open-minded, but what did they do with the readiness and open-mindedness? And examined the scriptures. See? You can never hear enough. Pray every day, study every day, because God is working with you. He's offering you eternal life. That's what's the important thing. Examine the scriptures daily to see if these things were so. So that's what we need to do. Let's look and see what else we need to do. Let's come to Romans 12. Romans 12. Let's pick it up here in verse 1. We combine those together. Prove all things. Search the scriptures, and today we have no excuse for not searching the scriptures, right? Yes, indeed. Now, Romans 12 and verse 1. This ties right in with Hebrews, the 4th chapter, about coming before the throne of God and so forth. Verse 1. I exhort you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and well-pleasing to God, which is your spiritual service. Now, you can be well-pleasing to God. I gave a sermon on that. You can please God. If you haven't heard it, go ahead and listen to it. Verse 2. Do not conform yourselves to this world. That's why there's the Sabbath, you see. Because the Sabbath detaches you from the world. You keep it the right way. Do not conform yourselves to this world, but be transformed, a continuous change by the renewing of your mind, day by day, week by week, month by month, year by year, in order that you may prove, see, prove all things, what is well-pleasing and good and the perfect will of God. Now that's telling us a lot, isn't it? Yes, indeed. So there you have how we can come out of this. How we can be on guard and let no one deceive us by any means. Now you can apply this in every aspect of your life. If you're in business, read the contract. If you sign a lease, read the contract. Now, if you buy a house today, what do? That's about 6 inches of paperwork. Well, if you get it, read it. What does it say? Especially the mortgage note. Some people say, well, I signed it and I didn't know what I was signing because, you see, they didn't follow the biblical way of proving. Well, I didn't know the payment was going to jump from $800 to $2,000 after 5 years. Read it. You want to know what the truth is? Don't go ask some Sunday-keeping minister because he'll tell you a lie. Read it. Don't bring your own ways in and try and force that upon God. Read what the Bible says. That's why there's repentance. That's why there's forgiveness. That's why in keeping the Passover that's coming up in the next few days, we renew the new covenant. And this is what I have outlined for you, the way to stay within the new covenant, so that no one will deceive you. That way, then, you will have the Spirit of God, you will know the truth of God, you will keep His commandments, Christ will be with you, Christ will lead you, His angels will be about you. You will be able to negotiate your way living in this world, though it is becoming more and more and increasingly wicked and violent that we have ever seen in our lifetimes. Yet, God can be there and help you and protect you and be with you because you love God and you serve Him and you do what is right. That's how to keep from being deceived. For our overseas offices, please check our website, www.cbcg.org.